Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew's sitting at a table collecting taxes. He's not well liked. He could be overcharging the taxes. He could be taking advantage of his countrymen, his working for the hated Roman government. He's compromised himself because he's cooperating with the hated Roman government. Then along comes Jesus. He says, "Follow me." Amazingly, Matthew picks up his belongings and he follows Jesus. They end up at Matthew's house having a meal. Along the way, Matthew invited other tax collectors. He invited other sinners. They're having something to eat with Jesus. Quite common when you read Scripture. But the Pharisees stand off to the side, and they have nothing but complaints. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus' answer: those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. He says he wants mercy shown, not mere religious ceremonies. So, who is eating with Jesus? Who'd be under this umbrella term of sinners? Well, the tax collectors are there. And what's their sin? Well, we'll just call it greed. Could be that they held on to money just a little too tightly, or money had just a little bit too tight a hold on them. Their lives revolved around getting money, keeping money, buying stuff. But who else is at the table? You and I are there. We've all seen how the rapidly rising inflation cuts into our income. We know the damage rising gas prices have had done to our budget. Seems like you have to take out a loan just to fill your tank anymore. Money isn't going near as far as it did. Our anxiety grows. Am I going to have enough? When our mind goes there, we begin to hold on to money too tightly, and it takes hold of us even more tightly. So when our Lord calls for giving, generosity, taking care of others, we end up mostly taking care of ourselves. Reminds me of what Paul says in Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What that means is we shouldn't be eating with Jesus. We should not be there. But what other sinners are at that table? Those who can't keep the law like they should or won't keep the law. I can imagine the language used by some of the people at the table with Jesus. It's filthy words, coarse talk, maybe even some profanity. No different than today, right? That same kind of foul language flows into our ears. Maybe, just maybe at times, it even comes out of our mouths. What do we say in anger when we lose our temper? How quickly we lash out with mean words, hateful words, words God never wants to hear us speak. Hurtful words appear on Facebook or on TikTok about someone who is different from us, someone who riles us up. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who shouldn't be eating with Jesus? We shouldn't be. But what other sinners are at that table? Those who worry too much. Those filled with anxiety about what's going on. The uncertainty of the war in Iran right now comes to mind. Streets aren't safe. Cars are being broken into. There isn't enough police. afraid of what will happen in our parking lot. Our Lord calls for us to trust, but we're so deep into worry that we fail to pray. We fail to seek His peace, His promises, despite the dangers in our lives. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who shouldn't be eating with Jesus? We shouldn't be. And then there's the Pharisees. They're standing off to the side, feeling better than all of those sinners and tax collectors sitting around the table. They're looking down on those eating with Jesus. A condescending attitude leads to comparing themselves to people who are at the table. Well, it's a temptation for us too, isn't it? That socially awkward coworker, that socially awkward student, the public figure who made a mistake and is now being forced to resign, someone from a different race or nationality. We easily judge too easily. We stand off to the side too easily. We compare ourselves with them to make ourselves feel better. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and who shouldn't be eating at the table? We shouldn't be. So where should we be? Not sitting at that table with Jesus. Not eating with Him. We should be on the outside looking in. And yet, Jesus welcomes sinners. He eats with them. He invites you. He invites me to eat with Him. Now, eating at Matthew's house in our text wasn't like eating food at the mall, the food court in the mall, or when you're with your family and you don't know anyone else there. You know, at the food court, the tables are separated from one another, and you walk out after a quick meal without really interacting with anybody but the family that you went in with. This with Jesus isn't also like some formal meal. This isn't a wedding reception where people are seated based on how important they are, or whether they're friends of the groom or friends of the bride, or whether they're special guests. In a situation like that, you may have polite conversation, but where you get to sit tells everyone exactly who you are. No, this meal brings people together. I imagine the tax collectors knew one another. Possibly some of the other sinners did too. The food was good. It was also laughter, and there was hearty conversation. This table didn't reserve spots for those who were more important. It didn't leave those out who didn't fit in. Everyone was welcome. Anyone could sit at this table with Jesus with equal need and equal inclusion. When Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them, everything changes. The table becomes a place of fellowship where no one is any better than anyone else. And that invitation includes you and me. Something else happened at Matthew's house. It may be Matthew's table. He may have invited those tax collectors and sinners, but he isn't at the head. Jesus is. Jesus is the one who became the host. He's the one everyone defers to. He speaks. Everyone listens. The Pharisees don't accuse Matthew of anything. They question what Jesus is doing there. You see, Jesus has taken charge. He's welcomed sinners to sit at the table with Him. And why has Jesus done this? Why is this welcome to sinners? Because they need Him. They need His mercy. And He desires mercy from the people, not mere religious going through the motions. He also knows mercy needs to come first from Him, but there's also to be mercy shown by His people. His mercy flows freely from His sacrifice. A number of times this morning, I've repeated the words of St. Paul, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But it's important to realize that Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "And all are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Think about another meal that Jesus hosted. This one happened on the night He was betrayed. He was eating with His closest disciples. Even though He knew that Judas was going to betray Him, knew that Peter was going to deny Him, the rest would run away, He still welcomed every single one of them to that table. Then He heads to the table of the cross. He's at the lowly table off to the side of Jerusalem, abandoned, left alone, sitting on the outside, looking in at the city, that holy city. And what is He doing there? He's showing mercy by sacrificing Himself. All the greed, all the lust, all the fear, all the anger, all the worry, all the condensation, all of it. He takes all of that to Himself. Out of this sacrifice comes mercy of His forgiveness. And like the good physician who knows just what the sick need, Jesus welcomes you in His merciful forgiveness. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Some days later, He has another meal. Peter, John, James, Nathaniel, Thomas, a couple of the other disciples go fishing. They don't catch anything from the shore. Jesus calls out to them, tells them, throw their nets off to the right side of the boat, and they have 153 large fish. And then John looks and he says, it's the Lord. Peter plunges into the water, sloshes as fast as he can go to be on the shore with Jesus. When everyone else is out of the boat, what's waiting for them? A meal. When the meal is over, Jesus asks Peter 3 times if he loves him. 3 times Peter had denied Him. 3 times he needed to hear Jesus restore him. He's welcomed back to the family, back to the table of Christ's mercy. Who is eating with Jesus? Sinners. Like you and me. All because Jesus is at the head of the table. All because He is the host. All of us are included. All are welcomed. All are forgiven. Now today, this morning, we have a different table. Here with us this morning, it's this table, the altar. Jesus is still the host. Here, Jesus welcomes you with His very body and most precious blood given and shed on the cross for you, for your forgiveness. Here you receive the risen Christ, the one who welcomes you once again this morning. Once again, you receive mercy from Him. We leave this table and we follow Him. We leave this table this morning, and greed becomes more and more of a spirit of generosity and giving. We leave this table, the worry and fear become more and more a peace that surpasses all understanding. We leave this table, and the anger becomes more and more patience and compassion, using our words to encourage someone. We leave the table this morning, and we are more and more respect of another person, no matter what his or her place or status is in life. We leave here and we follow Jesus. We show mercy on Monday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Friday evening. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather at the table this morning in joy and closeness and love and forgiveness because Jesus' sacrifice and mercy. Remember, He's the host. He says to you, welcome to My table. In His name, the name above all names, the only name by which we are saved. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.